Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 615. Potential. It's interesting. I work in the computer field. For the moment. It's more of a job. You know, people say, is that your career? And you go, no, it's not my career. I don't have careers. I have jobs. Stuff I do. It's mostly to gain interesting experience so I can talk about it later. How about that for a lifestyle? Anyway. I was reading a review about the modern incarnation of the very computer upon which I record The Life Autistic, all my recordings. It's called an OQO. And the model I have is a 1+. And the current rendition of it is a Model 2. I think they may be coming up with a Model 3 soon, if the Model 2 does well at all. Model 2 has a lot of nice good things about it. The Model 1 was kind of a study in how esoteric can you make a piece of hardware and still make it usable. It doesn't have one standardized part in it. But somehow it still tends to make it. I put Puppy Linux on it. And everything works on it except for the Wi-Fi. And although that's not the most vital part, it certainly would be nice to have, you know, Wi-Fi being able to work on Linux. If it did, I would probably just switch it over to Linux completely and not even fret with Windows XP. But we don't do that now, do we? Anyway. I did a review. Well, I didn't do a review. I read a review about the OQO Model 2, and of course it was talking about, oh, this isn't a very good piece of equipment at all. I can't type the Great American Novel on it. And that begged the next question. Was this guy who was doing this review, I don't care how erudite and how brilliant he thinks he is he really going to be typing the Great American Novel, period? The answer to that question is most likely not. So therefore, why should he be commenting on the fact that one cannot type the Great American Novel on the OQO? He's not doing the Great American Novel anyway, most likely. Even if he is. Even if he makes his money writing. And how many people do? You don't do a spreadsheet on, well, no, you can. You can make little changes. You don't do a bunch of development work on it as it stands. I plug it into its little, mine has what's called a docking cable. It's a very interesting thing. The new ones have a little docking station because I guess they did some focus groups and decided that the docking cable just was beyond people's ability to handle. I can handle it just fine. It's got some little quirks, but I, you know, it works for me. It wasn't hard to take it and say, wait, this is great. I can take my entire system, including the docking station, with me wherever I go. Because it's just a cable. It winds up like a cable, shove it in the pocket just like anything else. And you don't have to worry about it getting busted up too hard because it's not a big plastic part, like, say, a docking station would be. But that isn't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is about potential. Even with the little OQO, if you really wanted to, I guess you could do the Great American Novel on it, despite what the reviewer says. I mean, your thumbs would get incredibly tired because it's mostly kind of a thumbish, mine's kind of a thumbish membrane keyboard. It's got a little tactile to it, and it's actually not bad. But the next step up is a little bit better, but not quite, because it's basically a little bit bigger. I think I've got probably the smallest, most capable rendition of the OQO. Anyway, let's expand this a little bit, because this is not a discussion about computers. This is a discussion about, in the broadest sense, potential. In my religious tradition, and if you've been listening to this podcast at all, you know that I'm a Mormon, a Latter-day Saint, although a lot of people get offended because that sounds really cocky, and I'm not going to take away your feeling, boy, that's a really cocky statement, boy, I think you're a saint. Because that's only cocky if you're a Catholic, I suppose. Because they decided that saints were these wonderful, beatified, whatever, you know, superhumans that had this great storm. Sorry, I'm not going to get into that. In Mormon theology, there is something called the patriarchal blessing. I will offend you one more time by saying that this is regarded by Mormons as being personal scripture. It's scripture about you. It is like if they put into the Bible the book of Jay, for instance, and it was about Jay and about what Jay was going to do. It's somewhat prophetic. Its purpose is to help guide your life. Now, they are all predicated by your worthiness, by your ability to be obedient to God. You know, it is not a prediction. It is simply a statement of your potential, what you can be able to do. Mine speaks about my potential for leadership, and that's exactly the phrase it uses, potential for leadership. It also talks about that I will be led to my life's work, and that I will have the means to carry on the work of the Lord in the world, which means I'm going to have money, I think. If not money, then definitely skills and ability to carry on the Lord's work, which, I'm sorry, I still equate that to some kind of heightened sense of ability. When you have a heightened sense of ability, it translates into income. It will eventually, if you work on it. It also says that I will be comfortable and content. I've never felt comfortable. I've always felt like my income wasn't really adequate for what, you know, I've always been just scraping by, honestly. I think my wife has become okay with the amount of scraping that we do. I would like to move up to the next level, and I think it's okay for me to do so, as long as I'm doing this to get people closer to God. You can translate that for those of you who are atheists, for those of you who think that Mormonism is a cult or evil or takes you away from something good. You can correlate that to truth. Okay? And isn't that what I try to do all the time on The Life Autistic, is to try to find truth and to share it where I think I see it. And that is certainly God's, what God is trying to accomplish. So when I'm trying to accomplish this, I'm trying to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. That's a good thing. And that's the thing that God wants me to do. So He's going to help me to become more of a leader, to do this, to find my life's work. And it does say, you will be guided to your life's work. And I felt somewhat guided doing several of the things that I've done, but I have never felt like it was the terminus. Jay, you are now a computer technician. This is where God has always wanted you to be. This is where God wants you to be happy, be content therein. And it's like, no, I'm, it isn't. It's something that's certainly useful. I'll give you that, I'll grant you that, but I've always seen it as simply one of the tools in my toolbox to accomplish something else. I don't want to say something greater, because then that makes people who their life's fulfillment and what they spend their entire life doing, if it ends up being computer repair, I don't want them to think of themselves as small. Because it's not. It's something that's needed. So many people aren't able to get their minds around their computers and how they work enough to feel comfortable working on them. We need people that can do that and that find fulfillment doing it. Me personally, it isn't the end-all be-all, you know. I've often been accused of being very flighty about my work, you know. I am often accused, in a very not very complimentary way at all, of being a flake. You know, you don't seem to concentrate on anything, Jay. And you go, no, the things I concentrate on have almost nothing to do with the work I do. You know, it is simply a method of getting money until I can find some way to make what I need to be doing. And that's what it ends up being, is some kind of weird need. What I need to be doing until it can provide for my family and I. And that all talk speaks to the whole idea of potential. Because for me, my potential is what I'm supposed to be working toward. Toward meeting my potential. And it's some weird, almost psychotic, one could think, need within me. I've got to do the best I can that way. You know, it almost is like, are you satisfied? It's like, no, I'm not satisfied. And you say, well, will you ever be satisfied? And you go, I hope so. My patriarchal blessing says that someday I will be. I will be comfortable and content. And it's like, I have not found contentment yet. Although people say, well, you know, you need to try to manufacture this for yourself. And I think that's a dangerous thing. I do. Because when you sit there and you try to manufacture potential, I mean, contentment, I think that's almost akin to, you know, drinking away your sorrows, getting strung out on drugs so that you can't feel anymore. I think trying to douse the fire upon your potential is just as bad as some of the social ills that we find ourselves doing. And I don't want to take away from the person who is perfectly happy, you know, digging ditches for a living, going home at night, you know, leaning back in their easy chair, putting their feet up, switching on the TV and watching sports or something like that. I am not trying to denigrate those people. If that's what they're here on earth to do, then that's, you know, who am I to say what's okay and not okay for someone else? I can only speak to myself. So for those of you listening, I don't see any great need to impart guilt upon people and say, you know, you could do better than this. You need to get up and you need to get your butt going. You know, it isn't a bad thing to do as just a default thing to do, to say, you know, you could be doing better than this. But, you know, guess what? We need ditch diggers. We need guys whose lives are totally fulfilled by being a computer technician, computer repairman. We need those kinds of folks. And a lot of them, a whole lot more than we need of people like me, for instance. People who just never seem to be satisfied. And you could, you know, you can call it Zenith, you can call it Asperger's, autism, you know, people who do a lot of navel gazing and saying, guy, what does it mean to be me? What is the purpose of my life? And you're going, well, you know, I don't know. I can't answer that question for them. Maybe they should go and they should get their patriarchal blessing too, so that they might have something to grab onto. I found out that with my wife, these things are very different. I don't know if what she, if her life is with contentment, but she seems okay. She seems okay with the level we're at here. Do I think she'll be happier at the next level up? I hope so, because that's where I'm headed. You know, I'm sorry. I can't just sit where I am here. No matter how comfortable it seems, and no matter how come on, Jay. No matter how secure it seems for her, because that's a whole lot of what Lisa, I think, has been concerned about. When I was hopping and bopping around between job and job and job and job and job, that was very insecure for her. You know, now, I don't want to speak for Lisa at all, but my perception is, if she had her health care, if she had if she was bringing in more money than she was putting out, by and large, which I guess sort of she is. It's really tight, though. If anything were to really happen, we would be sunk. Or we would be in massive debt. We have a little bit of debt, but it's nothing compared to most people. You know, she likes this job because she gets to see me more often than, like, the boat job. The boat job was great money, but it wasn't secure. You know, there was already a downsizing going on. I was concerned that I would just be caught up in the downsizing, not because I wasn't a confident person, but simply because, you know, I wasn't as good at it as several other people were. And you know, that's just going to wash you out. And it was made known to me through the Spirit, through whatever, you know, if you want to put it into non-religious terms, which is easy to do, you know, intuition, you know, you can call it, well, no, that's not non-spiritual, you know, guardian angel, if I'm whispering in your ear. However you want to describe that sensation of saying, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I can't keep doing this. You know, I needed to come home and be with Lisa to help with the twins. I needed to do, you know, there were several other things. Although it was a heck of an experience. I'm sorry. Do I think I was fantastic at it? I think I could have gotten there. I think I could have gotten to the point where I was indispensable. Or, when the next rounds of layoffs were going to come, I wasn't going to be the one hit. Because they say, Jay's somebody that we should hang on to. Although, you know, I really don't know. That speaks to what other people feel, not, you know, and it's not often tied with things like capability and things like that, you know. It's just not always that way. And that can make people very depressed because, you know, potential is something that people, you know, it's kind of a fickle thing. I've often said that, and a lot of people do. I'm not saying I'm some brilliant, wonderful person. A lot of people said this, you know, intelligence is highly overrated. Because I tend to look at intelligence as something of potential. And if it's unrealized, in a lot of realms, it's worthless. You know, it really doesn't help anything. Being smart doesn't help unless it's applied intelligence. You know, it's something with which you can say, here's like this, and it needs to have some kind of value. In our world, it needs to be economic value, because that seems to be the most important thing in our world, is economic things. People don't get rich because they're smart. People get rich because they exercise their economic options and things go their way. Now, intelligence can certainly help with that. In fact, one could say it was vital. But intelligence alone won't do it. There have to be several other things, too. let me see. What have we already said about potential? You know, plenty of people have more potential and they can do things, but they just don't feel the need to answer that. They either either block it out as if to say, I don't want to know what my potential is, go away. Or they really have no interest particularly in seeking it, except for very pecuniary interest, you know. I'm going to make lots and lots of money. Well, look at all these wild turkeys. I almost ran over a bunch of wild turkeys. Yeah, but, you know, it happens all the time. There's always tons of wild turkeys. Anyway. And what I've grown to find out, and a lot of other people have too, is that money is only a slight motivator. It isn't the motivator that you would think it would be. When you see a rich person and you go, boy, are they driven by money, and you go, you know what? Almost to a man, I would have to say probably not. It was other things, and money is typically a byproduct of it. I'd say people who concentrate solely on money end up either, number one, just not getting it, become a slave to it, and therefore do something foolish, because money by itself is fickle, and it slides around, and it's not really something that's very simple to hang on to. It's quite difficult. So you have to have something more, you know. And it ends up being what fulfills a person. Now, it really helps to be able to take your fulfillment and be able to jockey it into income. But that doesn't end up being its own purpose in life, you know. I set out to make lots and lots of money, and therefore, now I have lots of money and I'm happy. It rarely goes that way. Money doesn't bring happiness. And I know that sounds kind of trite and kind of silly, but when it comes down to it, it's really a true statement. Most of the people who say those things are people that don't have money. And I think I'll be honest, money helps, because money, having stuff opens you up to being able to do more of what you want to do. If it's all about just getting more money, because you're going to start to lose interest in it. Once you have enough money to take care of what you need, you know, one kind of wanders off, you know, and then you go, what are you going to do with yourself? And you see the idle rich, who's a good example, Paris Hilton, who has no purpose for living, who ends up getting into wonderful troubles that is so fun to watch on the TV, I guess, for some people. You know, she gets into the kind of stupid, asinine problems that any trailer... I don't want to pick on people who live in trailers particularly. But any poor person with also no direction in life is going to get themselves into. You know, richness gives you a few more opportunities. You can try to buy yourself out of things, which the rich often do. It was really interesting to see Paris Hilton get an interesting punishment. People were almost glad that because she was rich and famous, she got punished a little bit more. Like that judge was getting kind of vindictive to her. She needs to be punished more as an example to others. And you're going, why? Why not just punish her in the standard way? Why on earth try to make her some kind of a horrible example when it's like, well, wait a minute, why her? Why not make your average everyday drunk into an example? Why on earth can I ask her? Well, she was drunk driving, and rich and famous people should have better better intelligence. And you go, why should she? It wasn't her money. She inherited it. I don't know if she inherited it. She's living off of these other things. You know, is she reaching her potential? I don't know. I don't know what her potential is. If you're an atheist, you have to say only you can answer that question. And of course, I'm sorry, people are woefully inadequate to answer those kinds of questions. God is certainly a lot more helpful. I'm certainly glad I have a concept of God. He's my Father. And He's working in my best interest, because then when God says, through my patriarchal blessing, that I have potential for leadership, I'm going to be led to my life work, I'm going to do this and to do that, and I will be comfortable and content, I'm going to take Him at face value. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Now, I'm also very aware of my limitations. If you've listened to this podcast at all, that's kind of how that the actual existence of this podcast came of a perceived limitation. And maybe a true one. I don't want to downgrade the fact that autism, Asperger's, ADHD, the things that I have passed on to my children, that these things aren't real, they aren't real limitations. But it's very heartening to know that there's somebody up there, my Heavenly Father, for instance, who says, these are the things that you can do. This is your potential. And it will come to you if you do the right things, if you stay close to the Spirit, if you stay humble, number one. And that's okay. The fact that I have some limitations, and some that are kind of obvious too, that people say, boy, is he goofy? You know, is he messed up? Wow. That helps me from getting prideful and thinking I'm all that. That's usually where our biggest problems come from, is from pride. Not just from pride that is silly, you know. You can have a person who really doesn't have much talent, but boy, they think they do. And they're going out there, and you can say, boy, they're making a fool of themselves. I am not going to say, I'm not going to agree or disagree or say that that's right or wrong. It's a shame that we have to look at people and say, boy, are you making a fool of yourself? You're just not capable of doing that. You know, somebody trying to get a singing career that really doesn't sing very well. They can't, you know, they can't stay on key, for instance. You know, and it doesn't matter how much money or things like that you throw at it. The chances are they're still not going to be successful. If you don't have the goodies, it's not going to happen. You know, people could say, Jay, you know, you really don't have what it takes to be a great public speaker. You don't have the presentation quality. You say too much. You say you know too much. And it's like, well, okay, I can work on those things, because I can see them. But I really always wanted the message to be more important than the messenger. The last podcast. I need to bring it to the next podcast and hope I stay on to it. I think I already did, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I was talking about RMS, Richard M. Stallman, and the fact that he, for being the person of the stature he is, of course, some people say he would have a much better stature if he was a different sort of a person, but that's okay. He seems to be fine anyway, because he's all about his message. He's glommed onto his message, and you know, sometimes he helps his message, sometimes he doesn't. But it ends up being like that. That's kind of what potential is, too. If your whole purpose in life is to become a great public speaker, for instance, you might hone your presentation to be amazing. You know, people laugh when you want them to laugh. People cry when you want them to cry. People buy the stuff that you want them to buy. Whatever. And you might be able to do all those wonderful things, but, you know, at some point it just becomes, is your heart really there? Is that really what you were after, or was it because of the peripheral things? I wanted to drive a Rolls Royce, and I decided that the way I wanted to choose to get my Rolls Royce was to be a public speaker. That way, when I go from place to place, people can see me in my Rolls Royce. I'll wave through the window, and all of my old high school friends or whatever will be green with envy, knowing that, you know, I got what I wanted, and they don't, and I can rub their noses in it. I think that only motivates people, normal people, you know, not non-damaged people, only to a point. It is, as they say, I think about Philo Farnsworth. Philo Farnsworth was the guy that actually created our modern television. Now, it was eventually stolen, it was evidently stolen away from him. Other people took credit for it. Who was Sarkoff? I forget. Anyway, Philo was a driven man, and I think that's, and I can relate to that a bit, because people go, well, why does Jay do that stuff? Why does he constantly do these things, as if he's got some itch that just can't be satisfied? Driven, I guess, in a way, although I would have to say that I am somewhat of a casual drivenness. Oh, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to get there, yeah! You know, I'm not like that, but I will keep working on that goal, you know. The big question, you know, and some people say, well, you know, he was working for so long on his novel, on the thing that he was going to do, and I had never looked at it as saying, I want to become a novelist. It was never my, that was never my intention. In the time when I started thinking about stuff like this, writing was the preeminent way to get points across. Now we have several different ways of doing it, including podcasting. And I found that now I have more time and more ability to podcast than I ever had writing. And I found that whatever skills I had in writing, they haven't left me, I don't think, but it isn't coming. In 1998, I had what I called the Great Writing Year. And I cranked out a ton of stuff. It just flowed. It flowed out of me. It was amazing. I did some good stuff. I did some stuff that people said, oh, it's a little bit rough, Jay. You really need to work on it. And, you know, my novel, I did, it was a 38 chapter. It was a good-sized book, Godsend was. But, you know, it was almost just a prelude. But it was something that helped me. Now, I don't know. I may very well get back to it. But that's only if I feel like I can't get my point across any other way. And I don't think so. I think I'm being able to get my point across this way. Maybe not as well. I'd love to do public speaking because I think that would just be able to get that message out there more. And you have to say, well, what message does Jay have? And, well, one of the things is potential. You need to answer the potential. If there's something within you, please don't drug it out. Don't drink it to oblivion. Don't do things like that. If there is something within you that's just calling at you to get out, my advice is to answer it, is to answer that call. I think that is the divine within every one of us. I think that's our spiritual heritage from our Heavenly Father trying to come out, trying to tell you those things. I really do think that I'll probably stay in the religious realm, you know, ultimately. You know, I intend to speak on secular subjects when I'm in secular settings, but, you know, but it's always going to have kind of a drift toward what you feel, what's within you, what's calling out to you. The things when I talk about, when I say that my heart sings, I want you to know what makes your heart sing. Because that's what's going to make your life worthwhile. That's what's going to bring you contentment, happiness. Whatever your definition of success is, that's what it'll do. Or I've found that as I've tried to pursue that, I've been getting closer. Someday I'm going to get there. My potential for leadership. So that's kind of what I'm going for. And that's a great quest. For what's the most important thing? What is truth? There are so many things that we chase after that really have no great value. Except maybe a monetary, economic value. But those things are often silly. When I look at someone like Steve Jobs, and I'm not demeaning Steve Jobs, particularly, how he makes his money on things like iPods, I think is interesting. Now, I'm taking advantage of that technology only because everybody seems to enjoy it and like it. And I use it as kind of a promotional tool, honestly. I have one video on YouTube, only one, and its whole point is to drive people to this podcast. That's its only purpose, is to accomplish that. And, you know, I may have to work on my webpage for the simple reason that I need to make sure that it answers the need that you know, it's easy for people to connect to the podcast so that other people can hear this, because I do want them to have me come and speak to them. So I haven't been advertising heavily on this one. I should. If you want to contact me for speaking, you know, the phone number is 1-575-461-2716. You will get a recording. I screen all my phone calls. Leave a basic idea of what you're wanting me to do, or how you're wanting to interface with me, or whatever. Some way to contact you so that I can contact you, because I really do. I want to get out the messages that I have. If you've been listening to the podcast, you've been hearing some of my messages. There is potential here. God even says there is. I trust Him. And I want to make that potential be a reality. I don't want it just to say, well, yeah, I could have been great, I could have been this, I could have been that, but you know what? I'm okay not having done that. It's alright that I'm not, you know, I'm not the person that I could have been. You know, I'm sorry. I do want to be the person I can be. I don't know what the point is, you know, I'm saying, well, what should I have been? I don't know what I should be. All I can say is I've got more potential than I'm being able to exercise right now. So that's one of the reasons for the podcast. It's to exercise that. That's one of the things about talking to people. It's to exercise that. To share with them what insights I've gotten. And I don't know if they're unique. I don't know, you know, I doubt it. I really don't think it's unique. But it never hurts to hear another voice saying, yes, this is it. And from somebody who you would normally think, if I'm autistic, if I'm Asperger's syndrome, whatever, that you wouldn't normally think, boy, well, he's going to be a really impressive person. You wouldn't think that. You'd say, oh, he needs to be in a mental institution or something. He's crazy. You go, okay, well, that's fine. You can go ahead and you can say those things. That's fine. It might even be true. It might even be honest. But I'm going to chase after my potential. And you should too, if you have any gumption that way. As I said before, the contact, because I'm wrapping up. How you contact me, the best way is, of course, to do it by phone. 1-575-461-2716. It's not an answering service or anything like that. It is an actual digital answering machine that it resides in my home. When you say it, I'll hear it. At least within a day. Sometimes I don't listen to it. My wife listens to them, and if there's anything I need to know, she'll let me know. I get very few calls. Lisa takes care of the day-to-day management of our household, so most calls pertain to her more than they do to me. But if you want me to come speak to your group, if you want to, well, I don't really know about dialoguing and stuff like that. I really don't. You know, you can put something on there, and I guess if it piques my interest, I'll get back to you. If I don't respond, please don't be angry or stuff like that. I'm not really particularly looking for kindred spirits anymore. I know when I first started this podcast, I was trying to find other people like me because I felt kind of unique and lonely. And I don't feel that way so much anymore. I'm not trying to connect and find my long-lost brethren or sisters or something. If I am unique, that's great. And I want to use that uniqueness in the service of others. I think having a unique perspective and looking at things from a standpoint that's not just the normal everyday, well, that's how everybody looks at it. Well, I want to share it. I don't consider them trade secrets. You know, I don't want to tell people how it's going because then there will be somebody who will knock me out and I'll be out of the job. You know, I had a job when I started this one. I guess that's my philosophy. Because I've had so many jobs, it's never been a big deal for me. Changing jobs isn't bad. If this becomes a horse that only runs so far and then it dies, that's okay. I can go back to computers. I can go back to being a witch nutritionist. I can do whatever that entails. Because if I do make a lot of money off of this, I intend to invest it wisely, mostly in circumstances that are sustainable, housing that's sustainable, utilities, not really utilities, but being able to have a somewhat sustaining source of the things that people need to live, water, food, things like that. I intend to spend on those things. Those are the things that I consider to be investments, as opposed to the stock market, and oil companies, or buying up gold. You know, these things are all very sweet and nice, but when it comes down to it, you can't eat gold. You can't eat your stock options. You might be able to paper your roof with them to try to keep the rain off, but, you know, I can only figure they're going to get soggy and they're going to fall apart and then I'm going to have the same hole in my roof. I would rather come up with materials, technology, whatever, that I can sustain, that my family can sustain on their own, to make this stuff so I can do this stuff perpetually. Anyway, I didn't know what the potential. That's like, you know, I am big on the potential, I guess. You get to decide what that is. I always get kind of weird about people that say how wonderful they are. In the LDS church, so many people say, I have such a great testimony of this. And there's something in the back of my head that says, well, let me be the judge of if it's great. You know, you just need to say what your testimony is about. You know, I don't care what you think of it, particularly. You know, the fact that you're bearing the testimony, thank you. Don't get cocky about it. I have such a great testimony of faith. And you go, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder when you start using terms like great. I'm so happy to be here. And you go, good, I can believe that. My happiness is great, as if compared to mine, it's pathetic. Mine, as if compared to yours, mine is pathetic. You're not as happy as I could ever be. The comparison is so important. You go, pish-posh. Not important. I'm much more concerned about potential and how we are getting to our potentials. And nobody else can really, number one, know what our potentials are. I mean, people can see and say, oh, I think you should be able to be the best computer programmer guy that has ever been. And you go, well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. I don't know. I'd rather take it from somebody who may be a little bit more objective, or just seek to find it myself. I like my patriarchal blessing because it comes up and it tells me what God thinks. And I think God has got a better handle on me than I do, if I take his word for it. He's my Heavenly Father. He loves me. Okay, so we talked about contact a little bit. The other way you can contact me is, of course, through the email, which is, autism, AUTISM, at quix, QUIX, .US. QUIX. Did I say K? I don't know what I said. Quix is QUIX. Because the other way of saying it was already taken. Good. You can go to the site, you can go to the Gopher space, and you can see how the whole thing of Quix.us came about. It's interesting, at the very least. You know. The people who have gone have said, boy, Jay, that is just you. So I guess the good reflection of me, if you kind of know what you're going to get, not that you have to have the whole package when I come and speak, or when I come and do a breakout session, or when I come and do this or that or the other thing. You know, I think it's just useful to know who you're getting, what their take is. And if you don't like it, well, still have me come and speak because I could use the money. But, you know, I would certainly make an interesting counterpoint. I don't like doing arguments very much. When I say I'm a speaker, I'm a lecturer, I have been a writer. I might still be a writer. We'll find out. That's what it is. I don't mind doing question and answer periods. Now, do I have like a big problem with dogs in the middle of the road that won't get out of the road? Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. And you guys will be saying, I don't want this guy to speak. He's a crappy speaker. Only because I'm in a podcast. I have no prepared notes. I'm not here. I frankly think it's kind of impressive that things come out at all. Because if you were sitting in a car just talking to somebody, or talking to a machine, that makes it that much more interesting and difficult, that you would do horribly. Even if you were a great public speaker, you would say, I can't do this menu. I need to have an audience. You know, it's all the stuff that one comes back to and they say, I can't do this, I can't do that. I guess I was saying it too, you know. I hope I'm not asking to get a break. I hope that you guys see the potential. The potential of having Jay come and speak to you. Whoa! Boy, I don't know if that's a great segue or not, but I hope you see it, because I do. I want to get out these kinds of messages, the things that you've heard me talking about. I want to talk about them. I would like to build my life. I am thinking that it's my life's work. You know, if it's not, I hope it's leading me to it. Like you said, you will be guided toward or in your life's work. And it's like, well, if this stuff is supposed to lead me to that life's work, well then, I'm coming! I'm coming, Father! I'm coming! Guide me! Keep talking so I can follow your voice! I think I've spent enough time on this. This is Jay Nemro. You have been listening, once again, to the Schizophrenic Ramblings of Jay Nemro, as contained in the podcast called The Life Autistic. This has been episode number 615. And I'm going to find my mouse pointer. There it is. Have a great day.